Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, and an exciting week, of course, for us at Fox, because we get a little chance to look at Pebble Beach for the first time, albeit it'll be with some amateurs, always exciting. But, you know, when U.S. Open year is around, it's fun to see who plays well here. If you look at conditions, I've been rewatching some of the U.S. Opens of old from Pebble Beach, and it does not look anything like it's going to look like this week, so it might feel like a completely different golf course, but always nice when the tour heads to Pebble and we get a chance to get a look at one of the best properties on the planet, especially when the U.S. Open returns in just a few months. We've got Patrick Koenig on the podcast today. If you remember back in May, I had Patrick on, and he was the crazy guy in the RV driving around the country playing golf every day. Well, that crazy guy raised $20,000 for the first tee at Greater Seattle. He played over 400 golf courses. He visited 47 states. And I'm sure if you're a golf fan with social media, you followed along on Instagram, as I did, and really enjoyed it. So wanted to have him back on as the RGV Tour, as he calls it, wraps up. And he's done with it. RGV is parked and done for a little bit, at least. He doesn't really know what he's going to do with it. We talked all about that and the adventures and good stuff, bad stuff, all of it, really. I mean, imagine you spending a year in an RV playing golf every day. You're going to have some good stories. So it was a lot of fun to have him back on. I'm pumped that he joined me for a little bit. And, you know, I love these types of stories. You know, this is what golf is all about now in this age, is people creating things like this that are interesting and that make you want to follow them along and be a part of it, and makes you jealous. That's what this golfing world's about. I mean, there's a lot more outside of the tour that that I think brings interest to the game these days, and this is definitely one of them. Before we get to Patrick, I just wanted to let you know about the all-new Pro V1 and the Pro V1X. They've been redesigned for more speed, love that, more precision, I need that, and more consistency than ever before. And you compare the two, Pro V1 has a softer feel and lower flight. The Pro V1X has a higher flight with more spin and firmer feel. That's the one that I play. And good news, both models continue to provide proven drop and stop greenside control, lasting durability, and unsurpassed quality. And beginning in March, both are available in yellow for the first time. You can prove how good you can be. Tee up the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X on your next round. And trust me, they are unbelievable and awesome. I've loved throwing in the new ones in the bag. 17% thinner cover and larger casting layer create the fastest Pro V1 and Pro V1 yet. That is something to be excited about as a golfer. And one last thing before we get to Patrick. It's Pebble Week. There's a lot of events coming up. You know, if you look back over the year already, and it was a little bit like this last year, we've had Justin Rose win. We've had Bryson win. We've now had DJ win. We had Ricky Fowler kind of lose the lead and somehow grab it back and pick up the victory in Phoenix and Scottsdale that really he seemed always destined to do. But it's a great time to be a PGA Tour golf fan, a professional golf fan, and it's also a great time to gamble on golf because there are a lot of options out there. I think golf is slowly becoming the second most fun sport to gamble. Football is going to be tough to always knock out, but golf to me is great. Day to day, week to week, everything like that. And the best place to go do this is BetDSI. It has the fastest payouts in the industry. It's simple. You play, you win, you get paid. And there are offers for betting on almost everything. We've talked about NFL, NCAA football, NBA now, NHL, even UFC, and of course golf. Virtually everything you can bet on at BetDSI. You can try live betting at BetDSI, where you can bet on games through the entire matchup, every play, every minute until the very end. And new members, get this, you get 100% bonus match if you use the promo code FNTSY101. That's like fantasy, but if you put it on a license plate, FNTSY101. That's more than double your money to start winning today. I play there myself. I recommend BetDSI if you want to add some excitement to the fights, to the golf events, to NBA, to NHL, everything throughout the next few months. Check it all out at BetDSI.com and use that promo code FNTSY101 and get this limited time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash on the sports you love. It's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI. All right, guys, enjoy this. I'll be on the road a little bit over the next couple of weeks. I'm actually a part of the Westminster Dog Show broadcast. Very excited about that. I've got a couple of bow ties ready to rock. And then I'm going to do my first PGA Tour live of the year at the Genesis. Always love getting a chance to check out the players that do well at Riviera. And again, if you're a BetDSI person, that is a great place to ride the dogs that love the golf course. I mean, it is a horse for course place if there ever was one. And so Riviera the week after Pebble, a couple of great events coming up, big names all involved. So it's going to be an exciting time. And again, as I mentioned, this is all on the heels of a year we've seen really big time players win events. And it's been the second year in a row we've seen that. Love to see Spieth, love to see Rory get involved. And of course, on and on the list with Tiger and Phil. So a lot of good stuff going on in golf. Patrick Koenig, as I mentioned, a great story, and I loved having him on to kind of button up his earlier visit in May when he was just really kind of an RGV virgin. Now he's a guy that knows how to change tires and stay in Walmarts and use a red box. So let's go to him right now. Well, I'm excited to welcome back in the clubhouse a man that I had as a guest back in May, Patrick Koenig. You probably have seen his 2018 travels on social media. If you haven't, it's your mistake. He's at Patrick J. Koenig. That's K-O-E-N-I-G on Twitter and P-J Koenig on Instagram. And Patrick, for people that didn't listen in May, you spent an entire year in an RV playing golf every day.
That's exactly right. I think we caught up with each other in Florida. So about the halfway point. And in 2018 and 1 month of 2019, I golfed my little heart out. It was quite the trek.
I can only imagine that life has been an adjustment over the last couple of days. I mean, it just ended, didn't it? You just finished up the RGV tour last week.
Yeah. So the last week we had the season ending finale at Bandon Dunes. And there's no better place to cap off a year long golf odyssey than at Bandon Dunes. The place is beautiful, and we had 3 days out there. Two of them were bluebird days, and then typically, you know, you get the Bandon rain and the wind, which is just part of the experience. So that we finished it up on trails, on the the ace hunt. So everybody was very excited for me to make an ace in my last couple attempts, and it came down to the 17th at trails, and for a brief moment, that ball was in the air, headed right at the pin, came up about 10 feet short. So no aces on the tour, but I did finish up with a nice little 3-footer for par on 18, and it was a sad moment. I mean, I think as I walked to the RGV, I was like, oh man, it's over, and some emotion came over me, but I was proud as well. It was a bittersweet moment.
Well, I want to go through some stats before we kind of get into the last year of your life. And if you can, and I know you have some of these numbers right there with you, maybe some are going to be guesstimations, but total holes played in 2018 was?
Oh, geez. So, you know, I played 405 different golf courses and then probably about 450 or so rounds of golf. So what's 450 times 18? That's the answer. I'm not a math whiz, but it's a lot.
That is a lot. I mean, you played more than once a day. And did you play every single day of 2018? Did you miss a day of golf?
I missed a couple days. I had to jump on a plane to play Cypress Point, which was, I didn't get up early and golf that morning. It was a full day of travel. So I probably missed around a dozen days of golfing, but I more than made up for it with two a day. I mean, in the summer, it was on the East Coast. It was two a day for pretty much two or three straight months. So we're really rocking out there in the heat of the summer, but I was itching to get back out there after a day off.
How many miles did you travel in the and when we say RGV tour, it's literally an RV, kind of a mini RV, if you will, was what you cruised around in. How many miles did that bad boy log over the last year?
Yeah, well, it's not an RV, it's an RGV, a recreation.
I know. I'm just letting people know if they don't know exactly, because golf throws in a whole wrinkle. I know you got the range on top of the thing. I know you have a whole bunch of memorabilia inside and books and magazines with you in them. But you know, it's an RV because now it's retired from golf.
It is. Well, you know, yeah, it's officially retired.
It can come back.
It can come back, but there's no plans to do so yet. But I spent over 35,000 miles driving all over the country in this thing. And we did 47 states. The one state, I think Nebraska is going to be mad at me because there's some really good golf in Nebraska. But when I was planning to enter, it was about 20 degrees. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like a 6 hour drive just to get there and back. And I was like, my lines are going to freeze. It's going to be horrible. So I made the executive's decision to stop at 47.
47 checked off. Obviously, Alaska and Hawaii, the other two. I don't think the RGV is going to make it there. How many members joined the RGV tour over the last year?
Yeah, well, this is the cool part. I mean, I opened it up to anybody to play. And when I was on your podcast back in Florida, I think I got 150 requests like that over that next day of people that wanted to join. And I didn't get to everybody, but we did get 793 RGV Tour players. They all got their RGV Tour card. And it's a Bush League or a semi-pro tour is what I like to call it. But that was the greatest part about it. I mean, every day you wake up and you're playing a new course, but you've got people that are coming on excited to be a part of the tour. And that really fueled the fire, meeting just people that love the game and were just excited to be a part of my little journey.
Now, here's one you might not know right off the top of your head, but I'm sure you can muster up some sort of a number. How many tires were changed on the RGV tour for a year?
That's a good question, because we're with the original set of tires.
No way.
I feel like I was too busy golfing to change the tires, and the maintenance on the RGV is a pain, because you've got to find an RV dealer that's willing to do whatever's going wrong at that particular time. And just about everything on this rig broke at least once, so we've had to fix it. The AC went out in the heat of the summer, so that was a challenge. We had the fridge was inoperable for a little bit of time, but this is a funny story. So the fridge is no good, and I'm just cruising on, and I pull up to the Warren course at Notre Dame, and I'm meeting this guy. I've never met him before, and we're chatting. I'm finding out a little bit what he does, and he mentions that he works for Dometic, and I'm like, are you talking about Dometic, the company that makes refrigerators on RVs? And he's like, yeah, I'm an engineer for the company. And I'm like, well, you wouldn't believe it. My fridge is on the fritz right now. He's like, oh, we'll get that fixed up.
Nice.
So like the next day he comes out and the fridge has been working since.
All right, Patrick, I have a personal question for you. How many pounds did you lose? Because viewing you throughout the tour, looks like you might've shed a couple. I mean, you're playing golf every day, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it was interesting because we kicked it off on the Seattle Evening News, Queued Up Sports with Aaron Levine. And I was looking back and my face is a little bit fuller. I think I started maybe around 185 or something along those lines. And I mean, I'm walking every day. I love to walk the golf courses. And so I think I haven't jumped on the scale recently, but it's not a dramatic weight loss, but I think definitely 5-10 pounds would be fair to say.
Well, you know, something I was interested in always. I mean, one of the things that my relationship with golf is interesting because I love playing and I work in it and I'm around it a lot and I do get burnt out at times. I was going through my phone. I sent you a text in October just randomly and I said, how high is your golf love right now? And you said it was down just 5%. And I just wanted to ask, you know, when you're looking back, I know it's only been a few days, but as you kind of look back on the tour and on 2018, how has your relationship with golf changed, either, you know, positively, negatively, or stayed the same?
Yeah, so I think you might have caught me in a little bit of a down moment there. There's a lot of highs, a lot of lows on the RGV Tour. And overall, looking back, I would say my love for the game has increased like I wouldn't have believed. I appreciate it, I think, for different reasons now. The reasons I loved it before still exist there, but maybe more so that I've seen these places, some of the best places, and I've ran into some of the greatest people that play the game. The amount of just happiness and generosity that I experienced has elevated my love for the game. Like I wouldn't have believed when you said you're going to play 405 different golf courses. And I was like, well, that might be too much, but it turns out it wasn't enough. I mean, I love it and I can't get enough of it. I mean, the only bad news about it is that, you know, I don't have to wake up to a tea time every morning right now. So, I mean, that was a surprise how much I really just cherish the days around and having something new and new people to meet every day. But, yeah, I didn't get tired of it one bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming the randomness of it had to help a lot. Because, I mean, if you were going to go, like if I took three buddies on a year-long trip, you know, at times you'd probably be annoyed with your friends, or they'd be annoyed with you, or you know, you'd be kind of stuck in the same type of game and all of those things. I mean, getting a chance to play different places with completely different people that, for the most part, I mean, you have never met. I mean, how many percentage of the people you played with over the last year had you ever even met one time before?
Yeah, that's true. I think, I mean, if I were to stay there and play in Scottsdale every single day, I would probably get tired of it. But it was brand new people. I'd say probably 85% of the people that I played with were brand new, maybe even more. I'd obviously had some buddies that would come and join on the tour for a week or so, and then they go back to their normal lives. But the freshness of it was what was most exciting. I think, yeah, if you're playing the same course over and over again, that would be tiresome. But, you know, a new top 100 course, a new guy that's stoked to be on the tour, wants to see some high kicks, can just down to have some fun. I mean, every day was really good. I mean, the highlights, it was 365 days of highlights.
Yeah, it was. I find it interesting, and one of my favorite parts about just kind of following your journey along was, you know, I'm a big Tom Coyne guy, and I love the stories he's written from both Ireland and Scotland. And I mean, right. I urge anybody that hasn't read those books to go get them. I mean, they were similar types of journeys, maybe not as long as you spent a year playing golf, but, you know, he'd go concentrate golf for 3 months and 5 months at these places and write books about them. What I loved about your journey is that in 2018 and now 2019, it was a chance for people to literally follow it along day to day. It was a social media golf trip that everybody could kind of be on. I know when you started it, you had an idea of what this thing would become. Did you ever in a million years think it would, A, blow up the way it did, and you'd, B, get the invites that you got to some of these places that you probably never thought in a million years you'd be getting a chance to play?
Yeah, I think when I first started, I was just like, hey, if I drive around the country and get to play a lot of golf, that's a win. And so my bar was low, and it really blew me away. I think it gained some momentum as you have people on the tour and they mention it to their friends. And it really became a big thing. Towards the end, I think it had the most momentum. And I would love to keep going, but we ran out of gas money. So we got to refuel on the old bank account. And it's funny that you mentioned Tom, because I played with Tom out in Philadelphia, and I ran into him just two other times on the tour, just randomly out at Sand Valley. And then we took a satellite stop up in the Bahamas, and Tom was there as well. And so he was more than supportive. He's like, this is a fantastic idea. I mean, he's cut from the same cloth as I am. So we had a lot to share. And I would say it was a rousing success. I mean, the goal, there's two goals that we had that I kept in mind whenever making decisions on the tour. And the very first one was to have fun. Because if I'm not having fun, why am I doing this, right? And so that was the number one goal. And the second one was to raise money for the First Tee. And we started out with, I'd never been on a charitable journey before like this. And so I put down $10,000. If I can give $10,000 to the First Tee when I'm done, that would be a success. And we doubled that goal. We gave him a check for $20,000 at Bandon Dunes. It was fun because I'd always wanted to either A, receive, or B, give one of those big fake checks.
You're Happy Gilmore, and man.
Yeah, it's the dream. And Evan, who's the program director at the First Tee of Greater Seattle, got one, and he brought it up to Bandon Dunes. And there's a great little clip of me actually giving it to him. I hit him with it, knock him over at the right by the clubhouse of Bandon Dunes there. One of my favorite little snippets of the tour. That was a great moment.
Yeah, you don't know the strength of a big check. I mean, if you and I don't deal with these, I guarantee you that Justin Thomas knows what he can and can't do with the big check. You and I, we don't know. We don't deal with these things that much.
Yeah, I mean, I've just wheeled that thing around and knocking people over. I'm not used to collecting million-dollar checks on a weekly basis, but this one for $20,000 was pretty powerful.
All right, I'm going to ask you some golf course questions. I know you probably get a lot of these similar questions when you do these things, but I want to ask, A, what was the most surprising invite you got throughout the RGV Tour for a golf course?
The most surprising invite? Well, I mean, Cypress Point was good, but this was a fun one to give the folks an idea of how things just snowball. As you're aware, the world of top 100 golf is much smaller than most people think it is. And so we're out there playing Eastward Ho on Cape Cod, which was one of my favorite courses, a beautiful setting. And we're going along, and I'm looking just to play all the courses in the Massachusetts area there. And so we're playing, had a great day. And then we're done, and people are signing the guest book. And one of the guys we played with, he's like, "Have you ever played the country club?" I was like, "No, you know, it's a tough one to get on. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it." And he's like, "Well, why don't we play there tomorrow? I'm a member there." And so so I was like, "Well, sign me up for a round at the country club."
Right.
And, you know, away we went. And so, you know, that was a surprising invite. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's a great point you make about the world of top 100 golf courses, because, you know, I always contend that 15 years ago, that was really all we had to go by. You know, there wasn't this world of social media. There wasn't people like you and Andy Johnson and, you know, the No Laying Up guys and Eric Anders Lang and this group of people that, you know, kind of showcase golf outside of this list we used to live by. But when you start to kind of dive into the list, it's way harder to get the invite than you actually think it is. The difference is, once you meet someone in that world and you get inside of a country club like Brookline or Cypress or Pine Valley, you end up meeting like five members of these other unbelievable golf courses. And for somebody like you, whose literally entire goal and job for the year is to play golf, I can only assume that those types of invites came more often than not as the tour continued, because you'd meet these guys that go, "Man, I would love to have you out at our club."
Yeah, it's amazing how that happens. And here's another good one. This is another surprising invite that I haven't taken advantage of, but I was down at the range at Jupiter Hills, and the guy that I was playing with was having lunch with Tom Fazio, and he told Tom what I was doing. He thought it was a cool idea. So Tom Fazio comes down, and I chat with him for about an hour out in the range there before I'm getting ready to go play his golf course. And so we play at the golf course, we go back up. Tom's still there, and we sit down and just have snacks and drinks with him and his buddies. And that was just a cool environment to be in, to see Tom, who I felt like when I met him, I was like, "Tom, I feel like we're good buddies. I've spent the last 7 months just living on your golf courses. I mean, it's good to meet you, friend." And we had a good conversation. And he was like, "You played Pine Valley?" I was like, "Well, no, I haven't played Pine Valley." He's like, "Oh, you got to play Pine Valley. Pine Valley is I'll take you out to Pine Valley." And so, I'll see if I can make good on that invite come up this summer.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do when you pull up in like a rental car. Thinking, what is this thing? This thing is an RGV rental car. Get this thing out of here. We want the RV. What's funny is,
yeah, you... I mean, for Pine Valley, I might just have to drive across the country to tee it up there.
Yeah, it's funny. You told a great story in May on the podcast about a private golf club in San Francisco that I don't know if we mentioned the name, so I won't mention the name unless you want to, but you basically pull up in the RV. This was early into the tour, and you pulled up, and they said, I think they told you can park it over here. And when you walked up, they gave you an etiquette card. And I was going to ask, I'm assuming as the buzz happened with this, and as you started to pick up some steam, it was probably more of a come park your RGV in our parking lot. We'd love to showcase it, because it was starting to become a thing.
Yeah, it was. And it's funny, because that same golf course, they got two golf courses there. And I came back at the end of the tour in California, and they knew who I was. I mean, the reception was wildly, wildly different. So they invited me right in, found a special spot for me to park down. It was a busy day out there. And, I mean, the number of times that people, I'll be walking the course, somebody will just yell, "RGV," or they'll know who I am is a really cool thing, because people are following this tour, and the reception was at some of these places was really good. But I never got tired of the ones that didn't know what I was doing. Most of them, they look at me like I'm lost, like I'm some sort of hobo camper. And I tell them I got a tee time, they're like, "Oh, well, okay, well, come on in." But yeah, I had golf courses that were coming up with cool places for me to hit rooftop shots under their course. And a lot of people were very proud to have the tour there. And, you know, I'm taking photos of their courses and giving them some exposure. So it was really a win-win for everybody.
How many TV interviews did you do with like local news stations? Was it, cause I noticed, you know, I can, I, as I said, I followed you on social pretty closely, and you know, you'd be in Oklahoma City and you'd be in Texas and you'd be here and you'd be doing these interviews. And I'm assuming, you know, you're the kind of guy that's not going to say no to that stuff. It's mostly because you've got such a positive outlooking personality. But did you do more than you thought you would?
Yeah, I every time I reached out to the local news, it was the response was, "Yeah, we'll send a crew out and we'll do this or that." And so maybe a dozen or so across the country. I could have done more. I mean, that was one thing that my bandwidth. I'm just one guy, so I'm doing a podcast, I'm doing a blog, I'm playing 36 a day, and I'm driving to these new golf courses. There's just not enough time to do as much as we could have. I mean, there could have been more video of just around on the tour that really encapsulated what it was like. And so I've got a bunch of ideas how you could do this more, but I would need a bigger crew to really bring the experience to the people that aren't actually on the RGV tour. But we did a really fun one out at the Presidio towards the end. I was on the San Francisco News, and Vern Glenn put together a really cool piece out there at the folks at the Presidio were wildly accommodating. So that was a fun one that really kind of sticks out to me. And then obviously the capstone on the beginning and the end of the Seattle News was really fun as well.
What were nights like? I mean, you're meeting these random people that you don't know. You get done with the round of golf. You know, it's say it's 4 hours, say it's 4.5 hours. You know, they come in, you give them the RGV tour of the RGV, and you guys say what's up. Maybe you grab a bite to eat. What were nights like? I mean, you're kind of there. I mean, you're there by yourself, I'm assuming. Was it reading? Was it preparing? Or was it simply just throw the clothes off, take a quick shower, go to bed, knowing tomorrow's going to be a busy, busy day as well?
Oh, yeah. No, there was no just going right to bed. So I would always... One of my favorite things to do is, this is kind of living the hobo life, but a lot of times I'm just staying in a Walmart parking lot, and I made friends with Redbox this year. And so I would go in to Walmart, rent a Redbox, and then go out to the parking lot, watch the movie, edit some photos from the day, maybe update the blog or whatever needed to be done, do some email correspondence while I'm watching my evening Redbox in the parking lot of Walmart. And then in the morning, get up, go to the course, and return the red box. So that was a go-to for me. But it's a lot of, you know, I'd stay up late and just make sure all the photos are looking good.
Wanted to take a quick break to let you know about BetDSI, the place to go if you want to place bets on these professional golfers that are going to take on a couple of pretty unbelievable golf courses the next couple of weeks. It is top rated on betting review sites, and you can use your sports knowledge to make some extra cash. Who doesn't like extra cash? BetDSI has a very user-friendly interface and mobile site, and has the fastest payouts in the industry. You simply play, win, and get paid, and BetDSI offers betting options for everything. Of course, the NFL is over, NCAA football is done, but we've got NBA, we've got NHL, UFC, golf, everything you can bet at BetDSI. And new members get 100% bonus match if you use the promo code FANTASY101. That's FNTSY 101. That's more than double your money to start winning today. I play there myself, and I recommend BetDSI if you want to add some excitement to the fights, to the rounds of golf, to the PGA Tour events, and it is a lot of fun. Trust me. Once again, go to BetDSI, use that promo code FNTSY101, and get this limited time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash on the sports you know and love, including golf. It's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI. And just one more reminder about Titleist and the new Pro V. Starting in March, it's going to be available in the yellow for the first time. In March, the new Pro V1 and the new Pro V1X available in yellow. You'll have to get your hands on them. I believe they will fly off the shelves unlike anything we've seen before. People are going to be really excited about that. The yellow ball has taken over at least the golf that I play a lot. You see it all over the place. And the fact that the Pro V and Pro V1X world is going to be introduced to that is very, very exciting. Prove how good you can be. Tee it up with the new Pro V1 or Pro V1X on your next round. All right, back to Patrick. And, I mean, how much was it planned? I mean, how much of this initially did you have planned out, and how much of it actually stayed on course as you were getting invites, you were getting people, you know, presenting this golf course and this one and go to this state and go back to this state? You know, how much, if you look back on it from January of 2018 to January of 2019, how much of it actually stayed on course?
I was always surprised. So it was a loose framework. So I said states and weeks. So I was like, you got 2 weeks in New York and a week for pretty much every other state. And some I did in 3 days and then some went over. And I'd look down when I was just rolling. I was just kind of going. I was like, oh, I'm where I thought I would be in New Mexico at this point in time. So the framework was there, but a lot of it was built in for exploration, right? So I had a handful of courses that I was going to try to get on. And sometimes those matched up with invites, which was great. But then there's also the times where somebody tells you a course you had never heard of and like you respect their opinion, like let's go play it. And so you got to have that ability to do that. And that we did. I think one example of that was another one from Cape Cod. We're playing with the director of golf out there. It's a beautiful golf course. And after we're done, he's like, I'll tell you what we got to do. So we got to drive to the tip of Cape Cod. And there's a little place called Highland Links. It's a pure links course. It's a 9-holer and it's open to the public and you just got to play it. So I jumped in his car and we drove on out there and met up with a couple of folks that were, I mean, about as loud as you could imagine. This from, I think they're from New Jersey and they just loved it up there. But that was a fun, loud round of golf with just, and it randomly happened. I was planning on just playing the one round of golf that day. And it turned into one of my favorite days on tour. So things like that, you got to have, because that's the reason you're driving around the country is to find new places.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm assuming that the phrase, you've got to play blank, is something that you probably got text or told to you more than maybe anything else the entire year. I mean, that's the one thing golfers love to do is tell people places they must play. And that's a good thing for somebody like you who is going, I've never heard of this place. And you mentioned Cape Cod. Is there any other places that really, not just golf courses in general, but areas that you look back on and go, I can't believe this much good golf exists in blank?
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, because you go in and then you go back to every state and there's a handful of courses that I didn't get to see. I mean, there's Ohio, I think, is one that people don't realize how much is really there. I mean, there's a ton in Ohio. Philly is jam-packed. Atlanta is deeper than I thought. I mean, I'd been there before and played kind of the top big names. And so I was digging into the second tier and I was like, these courses are just as good. And I played a ton of them. So I was like, man, there's just every area when you really start to dig in has got some gems. But yeah, one that sticks out, I was excited to see Moraine. I didn't get to see Moraine. They had something going on or Pikewood National. I mean, I literally could go on for an hour, just courses that I didn't get to play as I start to kind of think of it, but it's a good reason to come back. And when I come back, I'll know the places that I'm looking to see.
I wanted to ask something personal. You look back on this, you quit your job, in 2017, late in 2017, you decided to do this, you buy the RGV, you plaster RGV tour on the side and you kind of had this idea to donate the money to the first tee. And you mentioned $10,000 was a goal and you doubled it. And, you're kind of driving around and you don't really know where to park and you're kind of learning all this stuff on the fly. So what if you can pinpoint one thing, did you learn the most about yourself the last year doing this?
Yeah. So it was, there's a lot of things you learn about yourself. And I think the number one thing was that I was obsessing over things that don't really matter that much in my normal life. And when you have all these things coming at you 100 miles an hour, you learn that it's very important to let things bounce off of you, right? And so, and just deal with the problems as they come. Because if you think you've got to have it this way and everything's got to be in order, it's just not going to happen. So you've got to learn to deal with the challenges as they come and just make the best of it. And getting angry or obsessive about something that didn't go your way is going to derail things even further. So that was a good lesson that I was faced with on a daily basis. So I felt like I got pretty good about that. And I mean, this tour made me a better human being in that regard and many others in terms of just meeting new people and kind of learning where they come from. You get a really good slice of the American people. And whether you may come from this area and then you meet somebody with an entirely different perspective, really it does. It gives you that perspective on what it's like to be in somebody else's shoes. And so if you do a good job of really getting to know some of these people, that can change your life, and it can make you a more well-rounded human being. And I think that's why people love to travel, because they learn something about themselves, they learn something about others, and it makes them view the world in a different way. And if you've got a positive attitude about it, it can be wildly powerful and life-changing. And yeah, that's what I found on the tour.
Yeah, and I mean, I can only assume it makes you, you know, look at home different and look at golf different and look at the way you play golf and your approach to the game. And, you know, I mean, this is going to be something that what's so crazy and what's so cool about this and why I find it, you know, one of the neater things that I've seen anybody do in golf since I've really been around it is, you know, this is going to be something that you'll be able to look back on in a decade and 20 years and 30 years and kind of pinch yourself and go, I can't believe I did that. And I did it with such an open mind. And I'm sure that, you know, it probably gives you, I'm sure at times it probably gave you a lot of hope about, you know, the country or golf or golfers, because I'm sure when you're around these people, they're getting one day to play with you, one day to be a part of the RGV Tour, one day to showcase their golf course. I'm sure you saw passion in Americans and humans that that maybe most people don't get to see every day.
Yeah, and golf is great like that. I think that people, when they're on the golf course, are the best version of themselves. And that's, I got to see that every day. So there was very few people that lost their temper. I think we did see a pretty good outrage at what's the little course in LA where everybody plays? They're losing Jefferson Park. Anyways, there's a Muni down there, and he wasn't in our group, but we saw a guy just losing it, man. He was throwing his club, taking huge divots. I mean, blading it over the green, and we just approached that as kind of more of a humorous aspect of it. But everybody on the tour was, I mean, I thought for sure that I would get like more just idiots or just people that were horrible. And I got like surprisingly few. I mean, I think the people that wanted to be a part of this tour realized they glommed onto the positive, fun attitude right away and they mirrored it. And so, yeah, it definitely inspired my belief in the everyday golfer.
Well, I've asked some positive questions. I got to ask you a negative question. What's the worst experience that happened to you on the road as Mr. RGV Tour? Because I can only assume there's a couple. I know you lost your, what was it, your artificial turf that went on top of the RGV before you even got to Phoenix. And we played very early in the RGV Tour when we played Phoenix Country Club.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so that was gone. We did get another one. So the rooftop range, because I didn't leave it up there because it got nasty in the weather. So we would put it up there whenever the mood struck. But I'm trying to think of, like, the AC going out was pretty bad. Because I remember we were just sitting here, and I was just like, I had the cab AC on, but it's not cutting it when it's 105 degrees. And I'm just sitting here sweating. So those were fun times. It fortunately didn't last too long. And other bad things, the slide out on this thing broke, and I probably went to like five different people before somebody was able to fix it. The slide out, essentially the whole wall of the RV slides out, and I get about 30% extra living room or dancing room or whatever you're doing that particular day. So that thing broke, but I mean, I was hoping for like maybe some attempted break-ins by hobos, and I'd have to beat them off with the 7-iron, some good story like that.
You're the only person that uses hobos this much, by the way. I think I'm going to start having to bring it back in my vernacular. It makes me laugh every time you say it.
It's true. I mean, I was a golf hobo for a year. So you got to embrace the term and just own it. And yeah, I mean, there was zero crime on the RGV Tour, which is a testament to the folks. And there was no major disasters. There's, you know, I still no wreck or anything like that. So okay, there was one. I take that back. There was one slight hiccup, and it happened in Atlanta. And I was in a country club parking lot that was way too small. And I go down the thing trying to find a parking spot, and there's just no turnaround. And so I have to execute a 35 point turn. And I saw the hiccup behind me, and so I'm navigating around that. What I didn't see, they had these huge ladders that were like stacked up and sticking out like 6 feet into the out over the parking lot. And I kind of backed up, and then I heard this just horrid scrape along the side of the RV. I was like, oh, what the hell? And I look out, it wasn't actually too bad. And the guys were right there, and their ladders were fine. So, I mean, there was no damage done besides a slight scrape on the side of the RGB, and you can't even see it. But, you know, a little battle wound.
It's got to have something. It's got to have a little bit of character. By the way, your heat story, AC story, reminded me when I played. I hadn't thought about this in a long time. I played when I played on the mini tour for the year and a half or whatever that I unsuccessfully tried to play professional golf. What happens is the Gateway Tour would split basically the good players and then the donating players, the players like me who was just basically cutting a check and not making any money. And they'd split us in the morning and afternoon waves after about three or four tournaments. And so you'd get to know some of the other guys that weren't making any money, and, you know, you play practice rounds with them. And I went out one day with a guy to Wigwam, which is 30 miles west of where, you know, anybody lives in Phoenix. And we're driving out there in the middle of the summer, and he has no air conditioning on. And I'm going,
oh my God,
what in the hell is happening? And I finally, after like three or four, I mean, I'm pouring sweat. It's like 1:15. And I'm like, hey man, you want to turn the air on? And he goes, oh, no, I don't turn the air on in my car. And I was like, wait, why is it broken? And he goes, no. I like to acclimate to the summer heat. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a one and done ride, by the way. I would rather Uber home and pay the 30 minute ride than have to do that again. So I arrived at the golf course nice and sweaty to get my round going. That was no fun at all. A couple of more questions for you, my man, and then I'm going to let you go. First things first is, what's next for the actual RGV?
The actual RGV, well, there's been some requests to just dip it in gold and then give it to the Golf Hall of Fame, which I'm not against. So we might sell it. I'm going to hang on to it right now. There's no immediate plans for its departure from my life. And, I mean, I'm going to sit down and take a minute to evaluate options in terms of what my next step is. And terms of employment, I'd love to stay in the golf industry, and I'm looking at a couple options to kind of keep on doing what I'm doing, but make maybe a more consistent paycheck, and we'll see. But it's not totally done yet. I think it's ready to go. It could come out tomorrow and do a tour. So maybe we'll take it a couple places as I sit down and do some writing and come out with a couple things that kind of highlight the RGV tour, because I think what people want is they want to see, this is a great tour, but they want it all in a consumable package that
right.
they can either read about or look at and digest, because they're very interested in it. But it's a challenge to get it into really the format, whether that be a book or a blog post that is very consumable. So I think people have a lot of interest in it, and I'm going to do my best to bring it to them after the tour is done.
Please write a book. Please. Not just for me, for you. For your financial life and for things going forward, this is going to be an unbelievable book. I urge you, I push you, I request. I want to see an RGV tour book in like 2021, and I hope that it happens. That will be awesome. I love reading that type of stuff. I love your passion for golf. I think you're one of the more positive people that I've had a chance to play golf with, and I feel like that'll come through the pages as you kind of sit back and get a chance to maybe recap or write or even expand on stuff you've already written, because I'm sure you spent a lot of time, you know, pounding stuff out, not just for the blog, but for your personal golfing journal, if you will. I was going to ask about you. I was going to say, you know, what are you going to do next? And you kind of answered it. You're going to try to stay in the golf industry in some capacity. Will you pick up a job just to kind of do something for the next 3-4 months? Are you going to go back to what you were doing? Is there anything like that? Or are you just trying to evaluate everything right now?
Well, I'm going to evaluate everything right now. So right now I'm in the parking lot of a Walmart, and I'm headed back down. And my parents have moved into a new place in Sacramento. So I'm going to hang out with the parents for a little bit and take some stock. And that'll give me some time. I've got a couple trips planned, but I'll do it. I mean, if Shane Bacon wants a book, I better jump
Man,
on top of it.
I want it so bad. I'll write the foreword. I'll write on the back sleeve. Anything you need. I've been a fan of it from the start. I was just happy to be a part of it. I was happy that I got to jump in with my buddy Andrew and we got to RGV it up with you. It was early in, but hey, I was pumped. And sadly, no aces for you. Still no aces for me. Goodness gracious. I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
Gosh, man. I know you got the tip jar, where you put a put $5 in or something every time
it's
a hole in
one. It's like a $400 right now. It's sitting right behind me, and it just looks at me. It just looms and stares and is just mocks me basically for my inability to knock one. I almost made one on 13 at Phoenix Country Club the other day. I almost flew one in, but almost has happened plenty of times to the both of us. One other thing for you. When are you going to play another round of golf?
Well, Shane, I got to tell you, because I mean the hole in one thing, we just one back here. But to me, I almost think that not having a hole in one is part of the journey. Because once we get hole in ones, we're just guys that have one hole in one.
Right.
Nobody cares about it. But right now, we're hunting down the eighth. I mean, we're living the journey. I mean, it's not about the destination, right? It's about the journey right there. So we got to soak it up.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, you don't want to be you want to be like the story around professional golf was always who's the best player without a major. It wasn't like let's talk about Sean McKeel and Ben Curtis. It was more let's talk about Lee Westwood and Colin Montgomery and Ricky, because those were the guys that still haven't won one. So I'm with you. The journey is there. I'm going to embrace it from now on. I'm going to put the jar in front of me when I podcast from now on and allow it to look at me, and I'll look right back knowing that hopefully someday, one day, we'll hit a shot and we just go pick it up.
That's right, Shane. We're far more interesting human beings as the best golfers without a hole-in-one. It's a much better story.
So just let people know where they can follow along now that the tour's over, but I'm sure you're still going to be pumping content out. I know you had a great piece at golf.com about some of your favorite photos from the RGV tour that people can check out. I know you can kind of plug the blog and the podcast and all that stuff. Just let people know where they can follow you.
Yeah, so most of the stories of the tour, you can find them on the RGV Tour blog at pjkoenig.com, and that's the same as my Instagram, and then big on Twitter there. And to answer your earlier question about my next round of golf is, I don't know, I'll probably find something out here in maybe Yokodihi, I think that's how you say it, somewhere in the Sacramento area. And then I've got trips planned. I'm going up to Puerto Rico and some stuff in Canada. And,
you're an animal.
You know, there's opportunities to do some more stuff in there. So I'll be sitting down and kind of planning those next steps. And you can find it all on the website. And then obviously Instagram, the daily stories were a ton of fun to do. And I think that's what most people got the most out of, because it's more candid. And I'm not sitting there curating a perfect golf picture, but it's what it's like, you know, just me walking around playing golf. So that's where to find me.
I want to know if somebody at Redbox could go back and just calculate who has spent the most money at Redbox in 2018. I wonder if it's you. I mean, I don't know a lot of people that still Redbox it, obviously with the on-demand abilities of people that actually aren't in an RGV. If you're Redboxing it like 5 days a week, they might send you one of those Redboxes to put in the RGV at some point. I mean, that's got to have kept them afloat in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big customer, but now it looks that I might fall off. So who knows? The folks at Redbox could see a stark decrease in their earnings and wonder what the hell is going on.
This Koenig guy, what happened to him? This guy, this was our guy. We were gonna get him the gold Redbox card. Patrick, I appreciate it, buddy. Like I said, it was a lot of fun to follow. I'm kind of sad it's over. I know it obviously had to come to an end at some point, but I'm excited to see what you have in store going forward. I think you're one of the better golf follows out there. And again, as I've said, one of the more fun humans to play 18 holes with. So for those that didn't get a chance to play on the RGV Tour, if you ever see him in your area and you get a chance to shoot him a DM, do it, because I'm sure he'll take you up on a round of golf.
Well, thanks, Shane. Thanks for the kind words, and thanks for being a part of the RGV Tour and having me on your fantastic podcast.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
That will do it for this week's Clubhouse. Many big thanks to Patrick Koenig for jumping on, man. What a great story. Cool dude. You know, as I say, there are things you look at. And Tom Coyne, I mentioned during the podcast, is a guy like this. I had him on the podcast last year, if you ever want to go back and listen to his story. And Patrick falls under that same umbrella. Guys that just say, I want to do this and I'm going to go do it. I think we all have these thoughts. You know, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to go work out more. I'm going to stop doing this, or I'm going to start doing this. And a lot of the times we don't do that. I mean, the whole joke about New Year's resolutions is true. You know, these people are literally changing their lives. they're stopping doing something maybe they don't like, or they're picking up stuff they do, and it's involved around the game of golf. And, you know, I mean, when you sit there and tell yourself, I'm going to leave my job that's stable and go get in an RV for a year and drive around and play golf and meet all these new people, it takes a very special person to do that. And so, you know, that's just, to me, it's the stories that I love having on this podcast. It makes me excited to talk to these guys, and I hope you really enjoyed it as well. A big thanks to our sponsors, Titleist and the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X, and of course, BetDSI, a new user-friendly interface and mobile site. It has the fastest payouts in the industry, and if you use the offer code FNTSY101, you get 100% bonus match. That's all at BetDSI.com. One more time, FNTSY101, a limited time 100% bonus offer to make some extra cash on the sports you love, including golf. We've got Pebble, we've got Riv, and the schedule just continues to improve. It's going to be jam-packed these next 5 and 6 months as the major change and the schedule change and all that stuff. So if you're a gambler or you want to become one, check out BetDSI. Look at the players that have success at these golf courses year after year after year. Those are the players you want to ride. We'll be back next week. Exciting stuff as I head to the Westminster Dog Show. And then, of course, getting a chance to PGA Tour live. It's been a while. I'm excited about that. Genesis Open, first run through, and they let me have Riv. That is not a bad gig. You guys get out and play some golf this weekend. We'll check in next week.